Independent Community School District that came down in 1969 has impacted your lives and the nation. With me today, John and Mary Beth Tinker. They were among a small group of students in Des Moines who wore black armbands to school in 1965 to protest the Vietnam War and in support of a Christmas truce called for by Robert Kennedy. We will talk more in just a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from IPR News. It's Talk of Iowa from IPR News. I'm Charity Nebbe. With me are John and Mary Beth Tinker. They are two Iowans you probably learned about in history class. You've probably read about them in textbooks. On December 16th, 1965, they were among a small group of students in Des Moines who wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War in support of peace, in support of a Christmas truce called for by Senator Robert Kennedy. Five students, including the Tinkers, were suspended for that demonstration, and that incident led to Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District, a landmark Supreme Court decision that guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. That decision came down in 1969. And we've been talking about that protest and all of the events that led up to you getting suspended and then pursuing this in court. Now, during that time, as the case made its way through the courts, of course, this was big news. And the Tinker family name was very public. And you guys were kids. A lot of people were really angry about this. Mary Beth, how did you experience that?
Some people did get very angry. The bullying that we got was from adults, I'd say, for sure. In my case, students didn't bully me, but some adults did. They threatened us, and a lady called on the phone and said, "Is this Mary Beth?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "I'm going to kill you." And others threw...
And you were, what, 15 years old?
I was 13, and we had been speaking up for peace at Christmas time. And so it was very confusing as a child. Others called and threatened to bomb our house on Christmas Eve. Russ Levine was a radio talk show host who threatened our father at that time from his radio show. But I'm really glad that you mentioned the word controversy, Charity, because it's a case about controversy. And the Supreme Court said that some things we hear about and talk about because of our First Amendment and because of our democracy are going to make us uncomfortable. But we have to be willing to pay that price to be uncomfortable sometimes. Otherwise, we don't have education and we don't have democracy. So Abe Fortas made that very clear when he wrote the decision, and it was a strong decision by 7-2, that controversy must be included in education and in our lives. And, you know, unfortunately now we're seeing a lot of pushback against that, and there's quite a bit of censorship now today, as we know. But it is a case about controversy and about students' rights and teachers' rights as well.
And the decision that came down in 1969, you know, as I've been saying, it guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. And it does guarantee a protection for certain First Amendment rights. But there are some caveats. I mean, John, when you look at this decision, what do you really feel that it does guarantee to students? And I know that there have been recent cases that have possibly curtailed some of these rights. But what do you think that the guarantee really means?
Well, it's supposed to guarantee freedom of speech for both students and teachers. It applies more to students than teachers because teachers are under a contract also, and that limits their rights to a degree. It would be nice if the case really did represent, in fact, freedom of speech for students, but it is more narrow than that. It's in the school environment, because students are forced to be there, basically, because of legal educational requirements. It is a creature of the state, is the way they talk about that. The public school system is a creature of the state, and therefore, it must correspond to constitutional principles, and freedom of speech is one of them. My view is that the case mostly upholds the The principle itself, it illuminates and elevates the principle of freedom of speech and freedom of expression. In various cases, it is speech is still being suppressed, but the principle itself that speech is important to democracy, I think, is made clear by our case, by Abe Fortas. He really rallied all of the arguments in favor of free speech on behalf of democracy in his decision in our case. So I think that's really one of the most important things about it.
There is an argument to be made that this decision has been, and this protection has been, weakened recently. One of the cases that is held up as an example is LM versus Town of Middleborough. This was in Massachusetts. It involves a student who was banned from class for wearing a T-shirt that stated there are only two genders. The Supreme Court declined to review that case, but his school was allowed to ban him from class for wearing this T-shirt that, you know, obviously shared a strong opinion that he holds. Mary Beth, what is your reaction to that case and how it has been part of our changing climate?
I believe the student should have been allowed to wear that shirt, and there should have been discussion in the school among the students about that, and that should have been facilitated by administrators and by teachers. Under Tinker, there were two limits to the free speech of students in schools. One, you cannot substantially disrupt school with your free speech. And that came from Mississippi Freedom Summer, when Black high school students in Mississippi wore buttons to school that said "one man, one vote." The case is called Burnside. And so that limit comes directly from that case, Burnside. So you cannot substantially disrupt school. And number two, you cannot impinge on the rights of others under the Tinker ruling. Now, the two genders case from Massachusetts, the principal argued that the shirt was going to be impinging on the rights of students because he had worked at some schools where students had harmed themselves because of being gay. And so that was his reasoning for that. I personally feel that these things should be discussed in schools, and that, you know, there should not be censorship, that we should find other ways to talk about things. I was speaking with a group of school board lawyers in Phoenix, Arizona at their national convention a few years ago. And they said, well, these precedents are important in these cases like Tinker versus Des Moines. But the problem is that legislators and school boards, they don't really care. They just want to be elected. So they may pass laws or pass rules in the school board that are against the Constitution, that go against these important Supreme Court cases. And we're seeing that around the country. There are over 25 states now that have passed laws censoring what can be discussed in schools. And in Iowa, things like SF-496, which students have been protesting against, and that challenging that, students have challenged that. There's House File 222, which limits the talk of DEI in universities, and students protested that in Iowa as well. But that's going on around the country, where despite these cases that say that we must have free speech, the basic concept is still being violated. So, I mean, in order to keep our rights, we have to use them. And that's what I tell students.
Well, and I think the examples that you've shared are really interesting. We've had conversations about academic freedom on this program. You know, you're citing laws that limit the teaching of so-called controversial topics, laws that ban books from our classrooms.
That's
obviously
right.
That has not been fully implemented in this state, but it was passed by the state legislature. But I brought up the Massachusetts case also because obviously that made it through the courts and was declined to be heard by the Supreme Court, which says quite a lot. But also it seems like an important reminder that curtailing speech, although right now, because of the actions of the Trump administration, a lot of the focus is on how the right is curtailing speech. But threats to free speech can come from any direction in this country. Mary Beth, I think that's an important thing to remember.
Yes, it is. We have to respect other people and learn to talk with people who don't agree with us with respect. And our sister Bonnie used to travel the country teaching people how to talk to each other with respect on issues that we don't agree about. And that is a message when I speak with students across the country, that we are going to disagree about things, but instead of censoring, we should learn and practice how to talk about things with each other with respect.
I am talking to John and Mary Beth Tinker, who were among a small group of students in Des Moines who wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War in 1965. The result of their suspension was eventually the decision Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District, which guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. And we only have a few minutes left. I want to ask each of you, because you did come of age during the Vietnam era, a time when our nation was deeply divided. Now, of course, we're living through another time when our nation is deeply divided, and there have been a lot of threats recently to free speech and the free press in this country. Mary Beth, in reflecting on what you experienced back then in the 60s and early 70s and what you see and experience now, do you see parallels?
There are so many similarities, and there is a risk of us being dragged into yet another foreign war in Venezuela. And I've been talking with so many students who are against that, and adults also. And so, you know, we've been in one war after another. I was thinking back my whole life, because we're the war country. And I really think we need to get to the root of that problem, which is the funding of the war industry and the corruption with our senators and our representatives. Too often they don't represent the people. People do not want war, but there's a lot of money to be made in it. And now I'm so glad to see students speaking up about ICE. And a woman was killed in Minneapolis a few days ago, and students are speaking up about that. Students are speaking up about the environment. Students are speaking up about race and racism, LGBTQ issues, and animal rights. I mean, there are so many things, and I'm very glad to see that students are using their voices and using their rights to make a difference in their lives.
You know, there has been a growing protest movement in the last year, and I've heard people, particularly talking about the No Kings protests, saying, you know, I see a lot of silver hair. I'm not necessarily seeing a lot of young people. Do you feel like young people are engaged right now? I mean, Mary Beth, you focus your work on young people, but do you have a message for young people?
Yes, I'm with young people all the time and talking with young people. I was with young people yesterday in Congress speaking about preventing yet another war, one with Venezuela this time. Young people, I say to you, know your rights, learn your rights, and use your voices, because I've learned as a nurse working with young people that it's good for your health. It's good for your physical health, your mental health, your social health, all of it. When you take an issue that you care about and you speak up about it, and you can meet people and you can have meaning in that. And it's a way of life. That's what I find. You don't always win, but it's a good way of life.
John, I asked Mary Beth about parallels between now and the 1960s, 1970s. You were a couple of years older, so and also eligible for the draft. So you probably felt that in some ways even more viscerally than Mary Beth did. But do you have any parallels you want to talk about?
The main parallel that I'm noticing, I've been protesting the genocide in Gaza for the past 2 years and several months, and it's the bloodiness of the world that we're living in is just astonishing to me, that we don't have whatever it would take to figure that out and just quit with it. Instead, right now, Trump wants to half again, 150% of the current defense budget, which is already a record high, and the cheapness with which we're treating human life is astonishing to me. And it's been hard for me to believe that the general public can accept it. And I really want to encourage the general public to not accept it. And the students either. Also, the protests against the genocide have had a number of students in Columbia, Missouri, at the University of Missouri, where I've been attending the protests. But anyway, I definitely want to encourage the youth and everyone to pay attention to what's going on, think about the kind of world we want, and try to figure out ways to lead us in that direction.
I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because when I think about children's rights, and this is how I've come to see our case in the context of children's rights, children and young people, teenagers speaking up for themselves, we also have to think about international youth. And I've been speaking up a lot about Palestine also because of the genocide there and the unfairness that is taking place there. There's just the horrors. I was just watching something about a movie made about Hind Rajab, a six-year-old who was killed in Gaza. And I encourage people to speak up, not only about the kids in your community and kids, speak up about yourselves and your communities, but also think about children and teenagers around the world and right now in Gaza and the West Bank. Thank you.
You spend so much time with young people, Mary Beth, and last time I talked to you was in 2019. And you sounded so energized and so hopeful by the young people that you spend time with. This is a fraught time. Are you feeling hopeful?
I feel discouraged because I meet so many kids who do not have what they need, and I see what's going on around the world and the threats of war. But I do feel hopeful, because things change. And I've seen, when you know history and you learn history, you can see how things change. We were suspended when we were kids. And now look, all these years later, we're encouraging other young people to speak up and have a voice. And we won our case. And so I am hopeful because young people do prevail sometimes, and their allies prevail also. So here's to all of the teachers and administrators and parents out there who want your young people to have a say, and to you, Charity, for bringing this case and this issue to light. Thank you.
Mary Beth and John, thank you both so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Charity. It's our pleasure.
Mary Beth and John Tinker, they are brother and sister. December 16th, 1965, they were among a small group of students in Des Moines who wore black armbands to school to protest the Vietnam War, to protest for peace. They were suspended. They took their case to court, and the result, a few years later, is a landmark Supreme Court decision that guaranteed First Amendment rights for public school students. It's called Tinker v. Des Moines Independent Community School District. You can find out more about other remarkable Iowans by going to ipr.org/Iowa Famous. This is Talk of Iowa from IPR News.